Good morning, everyone. I'm Esther. We're going to look at two Bible readings today, and the first passage is from the book of Joshua, chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 to 16. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I'm very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west? The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened, until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you." Now let's look at the sermon passage, which is from Hebrews chapter 1 to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Thanks, Esther. And good morning again, everybody. And if you're new or you're visiting us this morning, so great to have you along. Thanks so much for being here this morning with us. It'd be really great if you could keep your leaflets open there with that printout from those verses from Hebrews, or your Bibles open. And we're going to dig deep through that text and understand what it means for us this morning. But let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would please be at work in us, calming our minds and writing your truth on our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I'd ask you this morning, what sorts of things make you pay attention? And by that, what I mean is, you know, what makes you really listen up? Now, I reckon for all of us, there's probably two types of things that do that. The first is danger. Reminded me of when I first started out in the electricity industry. We were testing 6,000 volt circuit breakers that looked a little bit like this one. It's like a big switch, really. And I was quite young, didn't really know what I was doing. I was standing in front of it, pushing buttons to open and close it, over and over again, testing. And I've been doing this for a couple of days, right? And my boss walked in on the second day and he saw what was going on. He said, "What do you think you're doing?" Because the thing is, these circuit breakers, especially in testing, sometimes can go wrong. It's not very often, but sometimes it can. And I hadn't realized that. And when they do this. And so if you're standing in front of one, you die. And you die horribly. Now, my boss knew that. So he said to me, "Don't ever stand in front of one of those. Do what you've got to do. Do it quickly. And then get out." Later on, I got sent on some training and they showed us videos of these sorts of things going wrong. And I can tell you, with my boss standing there and then later on these videos, I was paying attention. We tend to pay attention, don't we, to danger. Second thing that I think we naturally pay attention to is good news, right? Really good news. We pay attention to that. It was years after that particular project that I was on, and I started getting this odd double heartbeat. So I went to the GP, who sent me to a cardiologist who ran all these tests, almost killed me running up this treadmill that seemed like it was designed to try and push me into the ground while they measured my heart. She didn't know what was going on. She said she'd consult her colleagues. She couldn't work it out. She spoke to a professor. It all seemed a bit weird. In the end, she said, "Good news." And I can tell you, I was paying attention. And she went on and she said some confusing, convoluted words that I didn't understand. And so I asked her if whatever it was would kill me. And she said, "No." Beauty. Great news. It is good news. And so I paid very close attention to what she said. Those two things, right? Really good news, very dangerous things. Those two things, they tend to grab our attention, don't they? They do. Well, this morning, as Dave's already said, we start this new series in the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews in the New Testament, it describes both of those sorts of things. Describes both because it describes the gospel. Right, and the gospel is the saving news of Jesus. On one hand, extremely dangerous to reject the good news of Jesus. But on the other, the very best news you could ever imagine if you accept it. So on both counts, it deserves our attention. It deserves our attention. And that's the question that Hebrews asks us in this first section. It says, are we paying careful attention to what we have heard from God Himself? Are we paying careful attention to that? Because it's a two-edged sword and it deserves close consideration. Now, I don't know how much you know about the letter of Hebrews. It's written in the first century, maybe around AD 70, something like that. We're not sure who the author is, but we know that the author was there amongst all the action. He talks about Timothy, for example, in chapter 13. So we know he was there when it all was happening in the first century. As you read through the letter, you realize that it's written to a church that's under pressure. They're being persecuted. They're falling in number. And it describes in detail how Jesus fulfills the promises made in the Old Testament. It just explains again and again how he is so superior that he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament law and the sacrificial system. He fulfills all of that. And it just encourages the reader to persevere in faith until the end, to fully and finally take hold of those promises. So here's the question for us to consider this morning. Here's the question. When was the last time you paid really close attention to something? When was the last time you did that? And I mean the sort of attention that I talked about before. The sort of attention that you give to someone telling you how not to get blown up. Or the sort of attention you give to someone who tells you that your heart's going to keep on beating for a while. When was the last time you paid attention like that? Maybe just take a moment to think of when that was. And when did you last pay attention to God's word in that same way? That's the question. When was that? When did you last pay attention to God's word in that same way? Maybe note it down or just note it in your minds. We're going to come back to that at the end. Well, the first thing that we notice in this passage in Hebrews is that we're told how God's progressively revealed himself and his plan to save the world. Verse 1, have a look at that with me. Long ago, it says in verse 1, he spoke via the prophets in lots of different ways, lots of different times. He spoke via the prophets. And the Old Testament describes that, doesn't it? God spoke through people to tell those around them about God and their need to be saved. But in these last days, it says, and that means the days after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. So in these last days, after the crucifixion, God's spoken to us through his Son, through Jesus. God's spoken to us that way. Before, he spoke in different ways, through different people at different times. But now he's spoken fully and finally through the Lord Jesus Christ. I reckon it was a few years ago now at my son's sporting club. I ran into this guy on the sidelines week after week. We got talking about Jesus, and this guy was really full on for the Lord Jesus. It was great. We talked week after week about the things that we believed and the things we knew to be true. And then after a couple of months, he invited me to a friend's house. He said that he was part of a small group. They met each week in the evening to talk about Jesus. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll come along and check it out, so long as you then come to my church. So he said, yes. So great, he gave me this random address, and off I went one weekday evening to this random house. Well, we went into the kitchen and sat down, and this small group, they started in the Bible. But then they wandered off talking about spiritual things that I knew weren't in the Bible at all. And I asked them about that, and they said, oh, yeah, we've got the Bible, and that's great. It's God's word, but God's revealed things to us that go beyond that. Like, we've moved past the Bible, is what they said. Now we can see right here in Hebrews, can't we? Right at the very beginning, just how very, very dangerous place to be that is. Because it says God's spoken to us by his Son. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, it solves the problem of sin to bring us to God. He puts things right the way God meant them to be. He explains through him what that means for us now and for all of life, actually, and in all of eternity. It's all there. And it's explained in our Bibles. See, in Jesus, God's plan is fulfilled. So we don't need any additional words from God, and we shouldn't expect any. We must check everything against what God has told us through the Lord Jesus. And that's exactly what I was doing that night as they were talking about things that weren't in the Bible and actually went against what the Bible said. I was urging them to see from the Bible just how far they had wandered away from the truth and into a real eternal danger. See, God's spoken to us through the Son, and in him we have everything. Have a look at the description and the nature of the work of the Son from verse 2. First, he's been appointed the heir of all things. The heir of all things. We know that Jesus comes from the line of King David, the great Israelite king of the Old Testament. So he's human and the heir of that office, the king of God's people. But here in verse 2, we see that God appoints him heir of something much greater than that of King David. He's the heir of all things in all of creation. And the author goes on to tell us he's the exact representation of God's being, the radiance of his glory. That he is also God. So we see here, Jesus is fully human and fully God. The world having been made through him, and now we can see from Hebrews, all things belong to him as well. And he upholds it all, as we read in verse 3. God just didn't, you know, create everything and then just sort of let it play out somehow by itself. Now, the Son holds it all together. Now, there are some great mysteries, aren't there, in our universe? And if you look into it, there's something like 10 to the power of 78 atoms in all of our universe. Now, I can't comprehend that number, and I did look up how you can sort of pronounce that as a word, and I can't pronounce it. So it's just a 1 with 78 zeros after it. It's just a very big number. Everything in our universe, including us, is made up of atoms. But we're still trying to figure out how the smallest particles of an atom work together. And we know that the universe, in its shape and its form, it's held together by gravity, but we still can't tell or explain how gravity works. But Hebrews tells us it's the Son. He holds it all together. He sustains all things by his powerful word. All 10 to the power of 78 atoms of it. Every day, every breath, every second, it's because the Son sustains it all. And finally, Hebrews says here, the Son provided purification for sins. Which we know, don't we? He did that at the cross. He paid the price for our sin, bringing forgiveness by taking our judgment on himself. And having been put to death, he rose again and ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father to rule over all of creation. So can you see from all of this how Jesus is the final word in God's plan to save? He is the final word and he puts all things right. If you read through the Old Testament, you see this description of God's people and the law that God gave them, describes a sacrificial system for forgiveness, for breaking the law, describes how atonement could be made for sin by the priests, and it describes how it's needed again and again and again because we creatures, we're repetitively sinful. you know, just intent on living our way instead of God's good way, but God the Son, Jesus, brings an end to all of that. So he brings the final, full and completed purification for sins. It's a once and all forgiveness. So can you see from that that he is the one priest that we all need? God has fully and finally spoken through him. And so he's the one prophet that we all need. And he's the heir of all things. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's the one true king of everything. You see, he is prophet, priest, and king. And all of those Old Testament offices, they're fulfilled in Jesus. He is God's final superior word to us. That's what he is. When I was 14, which it may surprise you, was some time ago, I badly wanted this remote control car for my birthday and I begged my parents for it over and over and over again. In the end, I think they were just sick of it. Finally, the day arrived and they bought it. And here it is. I loved that thing. Had two speed settings, went left and right, came with rechargeable batteries. I'm sort of lost you, haven't I? It was great. But by the time I was 17, I'd saved up $5,000 from my part-time job to buy this. Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? Mine was actually unregistered and needed a bit of work, but it would have looked like that if I'd been able to do it up. But I like the vibe because there's enough of you here that understand what that is. A 1968 Holden Monaro. 327 Chev engine. Floor on the floor. Quick shifter. This thing was a beast. We're going a bit off script now, but the guy I bought it off used to drag race it. It was awesome. Turns out I knew nothing about doing up cars. So a year later, I sold it for the same price. But let's compare them. It's not hard to tell which one's superior, is it? It's a ridiculous question. It's so clear. There is no comparison between my remote control car from Tandy Electronics and my 1968 Holden Monaro. You can't miss it. See, the writer of Hebrews, he doesn't want us to miss the comparison either. And his comparison is so much greater. It is so much more important. See, the author of Hebrews' point is that there is just no comparison between Jesus and the old way of relating to God. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan to save, and we mustn't miss that. We must pay attention to him. He is superior in every single way. Superior even than the angels. That's what it says in verse 4. Superior even than the angels. How so? Well, there are a few places in the Bible that explain that it was through the angels that God gave Moses the Old Testament law, if you're familiar with that part of the Old Testament. And if you want to look those passages up, Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, Acts 7 verse 53, Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 2, although that's less clear. We won't go into those, but if you want to look those up, they're the verses to look up. But the point being made here is that Jesus is superior to the angels. He fulfills the law that they could only communicate to the human race. So he is superior even to the angels. Now before we go on with that, I just want to pause because it's worth looking a little bit closer at verse 4. If you look at verse 4 with me, where it says, the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And I just want us to understand, what does it mean, he has inherited? Well, the name we know refers to the name the Son. We get that from the next verse in the passage. But when it says there that he's inherited it, just want us to be clear that it doesn't mean he was not God's Son before his death and his resurrection. I just want to be clear about that. That's not what that means. He's always been God the Son. The world was made through him, as it says in verse 2. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's the Trinity that we talk about. When it says the name he has inherited, what it means is that in his death and his resurrection and his ascension, he took on his inheritance, he took on his kingship. He took on these things, is what Hebrews explains here. So you might say that's the full definition of the Son of God. Right? It's a change in office, is what that's meant by that, not a change in his relationship to the Father. So I just want to be clear about that as we move on. So I hope that makes sense as we continue on and pick it up from verse 5. Verse 5, we get this list of Old Testament references continuing on and showing why Jesus is superior to the angels. Now, we're not going to go into the details of that, but verse 5, it quotes Psalm 2 and 2 Samuel 7. And the author here is showing how do these ancient writings point to Jesus, how he fulfills God's promises. He is God's Son. It's a superior name in every way. Verse 10 quotes Psalm 102 and again points to Jesus. Through him everything was created, so much greater than the angels. And verses 11 and 12, they reflect Isaiah chapter 34. The created world changes around us and it won't last forever, but God the Son, Jesus, will always remain the same. And verse 13 is from Psalm 110. Jesus is the one at the Father's right hand, reigning with him. And in the end, as we read from verse 14, angels are sent to serve those with faith in the Lord Jesus. Clearly, Jesus is superior in every way. It shows us that, and it shows us too, these Old Testament references, that this was all part of God's plan from the very, very beginning. And that deserves our careful attention. That's the final part of this passage. Pay attention to what's been said through the Lord Jesus and do not drift away. Because as it says in chapter 2, verse 2, if the Israelites received the law through the angels and they were judged and punished for disobeying it, how can anyone escape judgment if they ignore so great a salvation revealed through God's word in Jesus? As I was reading through this, it made me think of the Bali Nine. Do you remember them, the Bali Nine? It's been in the news again just recently. They tried to smuggle heroin out of Indonesia. It was back in 2005. And they were caught. They were arrested before they could leave the country. Two of them were executed in 2015. Five were sent back to Australia last December. That's why it's hit the news cycle again. And those five had spent 19 years in prison. Now, I remember the case in the news back in 2005. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, these sentences were very heavy. But I also remember thinking, you know, they'd been warned. I mean, they did know the penalty. They were all from Australia. One of them had been convicted for drugs before. Some of them had imported some earlier. And it's well known that doing that sort of thing is a crime. And in fact, when you get to Indonesia, you see these sorts of signs. So they had been warned. They just hadn't allowed the signs to steer them away from danger. They ignored them. And they did pay a heavy penalty for that. See, this final part of our passage in Hebrews, it's a little bit like that. It's a warning to not turn away from what we've heard through God, through Jesus. A warning not to turn away from what we've heard from God through Jesus. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 3 with me. See, the author makes the point that the Lord Jesus spoke about our salvation himself during his ministry on earth. It was announced by him, our Lord. And the ones who were there, they heard it and they confirmed it. And as verse 4 goes on to say, all the signs and the miracles, and after Jesus rose again and went back to be with the Father after his ascension, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. That was God testifying to the truth of all of it. Be made so clear. The signs are all there. And so we can't miss it. But it is easy to get complacent. And that's where warnings are so helpful. Now, I don't know what you thought about at the beginning when I asked you about the last time you paid careful attention to something. And when I asked you when you last paid Jesus that sort of close attention. Can you think about when that was? And I don't mean right now. It's easy to say right now, yes, I'm hearing that. I'm talking about in the day-to-day. In your weekly routine, and especially when it gets hard. Because that's the context for the original readers of this letter of Hebrews. It's tough. They're copping pressure for being people who love Jesus. And the author here, he doesn't want them to give up, but to persevere in their faith until the end. Because Jesus is just so great, bringing the faithful to himself. See, paying careful attention to what we've heard from God through the Son, it's far more important than learning how to stop yourself being blown up. It's far more important, actually, than listening to someone explaining that you don't have a heart issue and then telling you how to keep it that way. It's actually far more important than any of that. And it deserves our careful attention. And so, are you paying attention to what God says through Jesus in the Bible, in all the parts of your life, especially the bits that make it hard? Tim Keller said this, "You don't invite the creator of the universe to be your assistant." And that is so true, isn't it? That is so true. Here's one way to work out if our attention might have drifted. We can ask ourselves, does our life look like everybody else around me? If it does, if you live like your workmates or your neighbours, it's worth asking. Are we paying close enough attention to what God has spoken through his Son to us? Because God's word to us changes us. Things will look different if we're listening. And carefully paying attention to him in that way is not easy because it's costly. It's costly in our desires and in our relationships. It's costly with our reputations, with our time, in our jobs, with our families, with our possessions. As we speak about Jesus to others, it's costly. But it's not as costly as just drifting along and ignoring the salvation that Jesus holds out. So this part of Hebrews, it's a warning. It's a warning. But as something I read was saying, a warning is not meant to rob us of hope. A warning is not meant to rob us of hope. It's meant to steer us away from danger and to preserve us. Just like that big red sign at the Indonesian airport should have done for the Bali 9. And that's how we're supposed to think about this. We're not supposed to hear this and despair. Okay, know that if you have a faith in Jesus, then we are far from despair. We can't lose our salvation. But we are to hear these words and respond. Maybe refocus. Delight in the heir of all things, who is the radiance of God's glory, who's greater than even the angels. To wonder in awe at what this says about our Lord, through whom all things were created and who now reigns over it all. This letter of Hebrews, it reminds us of the certainty that we have that he fulfills God's promise of salvation and that he can forgive and that he has. And we are fully and finally saved through faith. and God has testified to that. How important and precious that is. And so how carefully we pay attention to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your fulfillment of your promises through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you might help us to pay careful attention to what has been spoken to us through him, to not wander from it, but to be uplifted by it, and to be changed, and to be growing through it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.